You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buzz! 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 Buzz!
Welcome into a super exciting edition of At the Buzzer. We're Ralphie Report podcast that only talks about CU athletics, and really specifically we're paring it down. We're now only going to talk about CU basketball and other items. There's a pretty big thing we're not going to talk about. So I'm Jack. Over there is Sam, our other co-host.
How's it going?
I'm fine because it's basketball practice has started this week. Biggest thing on campus.
I didn't watch any CU sports over the weekend. So like I'm feeling fresh, feeling great. Ready to talk about basketball. But we do start with some news before we get into anything else, that Quincy Allen is going to be out for a while. He had hip surgery.
Yes.
So that's a CU player. Like he's a combo forward, like a really good shooter, really athletic player. He wasn't going to start, but he was going to play off the bench, possibly in the Maddox Daniels role. But now CU is without him for a little bit.
For those who don't know, he's a highly rated freshman in a group of highly rated freshmen.
Yeah.
And it's a shame we haven't seen him at all. By all accounts, he was probably the most athletic player on the team. So,
yeah. Top 100 recruit, third highest recruit on the CU recruiting class.
Yes, which is what a thing to say.
Very nice.
But his high, I don't know. Lawson Loving's really high, but that's like a potential high. Quincy Allen is like good right now. And I think that's the difference. Or at least we thought he was. Definitely in the purest strokes on the team. That'll suck to miss because CU's replacing a lot of shooting.
Yeah. Well, I think that they're both good right now. And I think that Lawson Loving has an easier time. He's improving more quickly, and I think he's more coachable. But I think that's also about Lawson, not about anyone else, because Lawson is like everyone just fucking adores him.
Yeah, definitely a hard worker. Not to say Quincy Allen isn't, but that's the whole thing with Lawson, I guess, is how quickly he improves. You know, 3 years ago, CU was his only offer, and now he enters the school, the top 50 recruits. So, you know, his ceiling is way higher and he's sprinting towards that. So we hope Quincy stays healthy. His surgery went well, which is good. It's a hip surgery and it's good to have those. It's better to have those early rather than later, which is the Greg Oden story. So we're glad he caught that, and it sucks that he's gone because he would have been a nice piece.
Yeah. What else we have today? We have
the
official CU Buffaloes schedule was released today. We already knew the conference pairings. We already knew certain things about it, but it is nice to see it fully fleshed out. And now we have a visual aid to be like, oh, we're going to win this game. We're going to lose this game. We're going to beat Oregon at CU Vet Center. So before we go into it, do you have any overarching thoughts?
Yeah, I think this team's ceiling is reduced pretty dramatically without Mason Faulkner and Quincy Allen now. Two guys that...
Yes, I forgot about Faulkner already.
Yeah, who is officially at Louisville, as we all expected to happen. Yeah, he was a sixth-year grad transfer at point guard, would have been a really nice stabilizing force. Definitely affected the floor of the team, but also, you know, with him in there, you can kind of let Key and the other two freshman guards develop at their own pace, which helps you in the later part of the season. Now that he's gone, those dudes are going to have to step in right away, which is going to lead to some, I would assume, frustrating games early on. So that those two losses without Allen and Faulkner, you're missing a lot of scoring potential there. And then the other bit is Javon Ruffin still injured. Another freshman coming in who's a pretty big guard type. And he was presumably one of the more ready members of this freshman class. So we don't know what he's going to bring.
Well, yeah, but like Ruffin, he profiles as that tad guard. Like, I don't know, like Xavier Talton if he was good.
That's so
like,
mean.
Like, obviously, that's not a one-for-one comparison, but like, big, hardworking guard who should be good at defense, should move the ball, is not going to be very selfish.
Why didn't you start with Dinwiddie for a much more positive comparison?
Because Dinwiddie is in the NBA, and I don't think Ruffin is as good.
Well, I think the other thing to say, yeah, I don't know. Ruffin doesn't have that explosiveness, I don't think, but he is a NBA scout's son, and he's definitely plays like that. He's smart. He makes the right read when he has to. Shoots well, super long arms. But we don't know
what he's going to look like. When we do get him, I have no evidence to say that he'll be good, but I like the idea of Javon Ruffin as a bench player. I don't necessarily like the idea that Julian Hammond might be playing actual minutes because he's supposed to be
please
like...
Please God, put in that quarterback.
Yeah, please God. Because not to get too in-depth because we're probably 5 minutes into this podcast and I'm talking about the fourth string point guard, but he profiles as like the sweet shooter of the class who's like that's his main role.
Absolutely.
And he's might not be as good of a shooter as we hope, because also like a weird thing with this team is that the big men are probably better at shooting than the guards.
Definitely
I would like to see, like, if CU has a sweet shooting guard, I would actually like to see them make those shots if they're going to contribute, because, like, he's probably not going to be much value elsewhere as a freshman, as a true freshman, coming in from Colorado high schools in which he played two sports, so he never specialized yet.
Now you're talking about the Max Daniels role of missing shots you should miss or make, and then making shots that are insane.
Well, I was about to mention Shane Gatling as like the type
of... Oh, yes. I miss him. That guy was awesome.
Yeah, he was great a few times.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Mostly wasn't that actually effective with shooting.
Yeah. Tad just had his first post-practice media commentary of the year, because they just had the first practice of the year on the September 27th. And he actually said that the point guard, he said, is going to be a three-headed monster of Keyshawn, yep, KJ, and Julian. So they're all going to play probably more than you'd like.
The other two I'm fine with.
Right, but I still think you're going to see Julian Hammond more than you want to.
Yeah, personally, yes.
And he also mentioned, this is the last overarching thing I have. He also mentioned music to other people's ears. Three-guard lineups are going to be a thing this year. Something that Tad is reticent to do. But with Eli Parquet's defensive versatility, I think it makes it easier for him to slide Parquet up into that forward spot.
Of course. Or like be the third guard, yeah. Because he's 6'4" with like a – he probably has a 6'8" wingspan, and he's like big.
Right.
So it's like he can play up.
I think CU's going to run more than they did last year.
And then also Quincy Allen being out, that kind of possibly forces Neat Clifford to play some real minutes, especially if they're running three-guard lineups, because he's a 6'7" guard.
I would have been surprised if he wasn't playing real minutes.
And he says he's Like, he told me and Jack Carlo that he's working on being like the catch and shoot 3-point shooter on the team.
Interesting.
However, because he's actually pretty good at that, apparently. And he developed a lot last year behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's all I had. You know.
Oh, that's all you had?
Fun season.
Okay, because, okay, so something about the guards. I know we are going to see you as going to run two or three, like 2-point guards or like 3 guard lineups all the time.
Yeah.
But I thought that if Keyshawn was as good as we hope, and if KJ Simpson was just like a fucking winner, which he seems like he's going to be, you know, like that type of guy. I thought that there would be a chance that Mason Faulkner would get pushed for his minutes by those two if they develop nicely.
Yeah, so I guess that's part of why I think that affects his departure, affects the ceiling and the floor of the team. Because I think he's a security blanket, but also because you kind of know what his baseline is, I think him leaving affects the ceiling, because if you do get to a point when KJ is pushing minutes from Faulkner, it's more of a, oh my God, we have something here, rather than a, oh my God, we have no, you know, starter that's supposed to be here.
So you're saying the talented freshman who's supposed to be really athletic and really promising, if they won the job, that would be great, because it'd be like, right, wow, this guy's so talented, you can't keep him off the field. But if, say, the starter was outperforming them in camp and then got hurt or left and forced the unprepared freshman to play, then you don't really know what's going on, and that you could just bottom out completely and be one of the worst offenses in the country.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Oh God. Well,
surely Ted Boyle won't let that happen though.
Yeah. Last piece of news is CU did just get a 2022 commit on the basketball side of things. Joe Hurlburt is the first one he's been in for a while now. Big guy out of South North Dakota. The second is almost the exact opposite of that. RJ Smith, who's a guard out of Southern California, in Damien High School. And, I don't know. This seems like a vintage Tad Boyle guard pickup to me.
Okay, Damien High School. This is the first time
Bryce Peters went there.
6 days ago. How did I miss this?
Yeah, so Bryce Peters went to Damien High School as well, the oft-maligned Bryce Peters. But Smith is not that. Like I said, vintage Tad Boyle recruit. I'm saying that because CU is the only Power 6 offer.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Which was the case for Iskia Booker, which was also the case for Spencer Dinwiddie until Oregon came in really late. Ted Boyle loves doing that in Southern California. I don't know. It seemed like he went away from that and went to more established guards. And I think that still might be the case in 2022, but he's definitely a tag guard, tall, 6'4", definitely defends, plays multiple defensive roles. Doesn't appear to be that explosive. And a better shooter than most tag guards. So we'll see. You know, I don't think he played at all last year because of California's COVID rules. I don't know if that's true. But he was behind a 5-star USC signee who's a year above him. So we don't really know what he looks like as a lead guard, and this would be the year to find out. But welcome, RJ.
So what we're seeing is possibly a depth piece, possibly a late rising prospect.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, like, his track record, if you go non-foreign, so we're not counting the Jacob Dombecks and Thomas Akizeles of the world, his track record with underappreciated prospects, especially in SoCal, is pretty good. No Keenan Guzanich also included in that. I'm counting him as a foreign prospect. But
who? Keenan Guzanich?
Yeah, Keenan Guzanich, yeah. But, you know, George King, Eli Parquet, Dinwiddie, Iskia Booker, and also Eli Stalzer is a miss, I would say. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Eli Stalzer was a great guy to have around. Do you want to look at the schedule?
Yeah, we can go line by line here.
Okay. Well, not necessarily line by line. But I want to see, like, the problem games. Like, where you think a trip up could happen. Games that jump out to you. Because I don't want to say, like, oh, we're going to beat Maine very easily, because I don't know who anybody on Maine is, so I can't say anything.
Well, we are going to beat Maine very easily, for sure.
Well, we should.
Yeah, so just looking at the schedule, non-conference was just released with the full conference dates as well. So, Mines exhibition, that's a win.
No,
I'm just going to go for the rest of the non-conference. That Nebraska game is interesting. Also an exhibition, so it doesn't really count. But that should give us a little bit of a baseline because Nebraska should be much improved this year under Fred Hoiberg. Yeah, they got a bunch of talent.
It's a charity exhibition, so I don't know if people are going to go hard.
Oh, Sam, don't you know that anytime anyone steps foot in the state of Nebraska, it's for charity?
Okay. All right. So then the real season starts with Montana State at home.
Who's actually going to be pretty tough. Montana State is not a complete pushover. They have, if I remember correctly, one of the best scorers in the country. I believe he's still there. Let me look this up.
I feel like he left and went to like Washington State.
Let's find out. This is 2020-2021. I think you are correct.
Yeah?
I think so.
Oh, shit. That's pretty – that gives me some good clout if I got it right.
No, you're not correct. And I am so completely behind the times. I'm thinking of Tyler Hall, who has not been in Montana State since the end of 2019. So don't worry about me.
Well, you could have had a Bonton from Washington State. He went there.
There you go. Yeah. Either way, yeah. Montana State's not the worst. They do okay in the Big Sky every year. And
their two best players from last year are both from London, so that's super weird. They went to the same high school in London.
And their head coach is Danny Sprinkle. What else do you need?
Wayne Tinkle.
New Mexico should be a pretty easy walkover. They're still rebuilding that program down there. I'm excited and nervous about the Southern Illinois game on November 19th. SIU has given some scare to some people recently. But other than that, that Paradise Jam is going to be a really fun time. And it looks like the bracket is setting up for the last game of that to be CU-CSU in a neutral site. And CSU is 100% a tournament team this year. Really good. So that'll be a really good test as well.
Do you remember last time CU won the Paradise Jam?
Is that the one that was in Virginia?
Yeah, in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Yeah.
In which McKinley Wright hit the game winner against Mercer. One of the weirdest.
No, against Quinnipiac.
Oh, yeah. And then they beat Mercer.
Yes, I do remember that.
And that whole tournament sucked so bad because CU was constantly down by like 10 points. And scratching and clawing their way back.
Yes.
And thank God for McKinley Wright, because that was so bad. And I had to get the subscription to that weird basketball website.
Yes, Flow Hoops. Yep.
Yeah, Flow Hoops.
I also totally forgot that this SIU's head coach is NBA 2K legend Brian Mullins.
Brian Mullins? Are you serious?
Yeah.
How is he coaching?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Anyways.
Can you guess, speaking of Byron Mullins, a similar player, do you want to guess the only NBA player who's like from Boulder?
Is it Nick Fazekas?
No, I don't think so. I think that guy was like Russian or something.
Is it Burdette Halverson?
I think I'm making shit up, but Lou Amundsen is from.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I think I knew that. Monarch. And he went to where again?
Monarch.
No, he went to some college, random college. Was UNLV. It New Mexico? UNLV.
UNLV. Right. Yes. Okay. So you think those are wins? You think Paradise Jam is a win?
That CSU game is going to be really, really hard.
That's CSU is really good. To play CSU, yeah.
Yeah.
That could be anything. It's not going to be in Virginia, most likely, unless another hurricane happens. That would suck. And then CU starts Pac-12 play quite early with a game at home against Stanford, and then they move on and play at UCLA 3 days later. Do you want to start with Stanford?
They're not going to be that good this year. They're going to be about, well, I shouldn't say that. They'll probably be about on par with CU. They're not going to be as good as they should be. So I don't know. Under Jared Haas, Stanford's always defense first team. De Silva is finally gone, but their wings are really have stepped into their own. Jaden Dallaire and Spencer Jones. Those are two really good guys.
Yeah, Jaden Dallaire was most improved player last year.
Yeah, so as a team based off of that, Zaire Williams was not a good overall team player. I don't remember if he's coming back.
No, he's gone. He got drafted 10th overall by the Grizzlies. 10th overall? No, that was Josh Primo.
Yeah.
No, he did get drafted higher than he should have.
No, but you said apparently 10th overall by the Pelicans. What the hell? Okay.
Wait, did I get it right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I messed up the teams. No, I don't understand how he went. It was by the Grizzlies because the Grizzlies traded for that pick. But yeah, I don't understand what happened with him, but apparently that was a weird situation. Like he had some like family issues and Stanford was like playing. They weren't even playing at Stanford because of COVID restrictions. So they were like living out of a hotel like all season. So that was a weird situation for them. But they have replaced him with another five-star freshman wing named Harrison Ingram, who I don't really know much about.
I like him way more than Zaire. He's not as natural of a scorer. Definitely a better wing defender, though. That dude is built.
And then they have another guy who's supposed to be like a their Tyrell Terry coming in named Isael Silva, who should be running a good offense because Dejon Davis finally left, transferred to Washington. So
yes. I mean, it's not just conference play though. That's a weird like conference interstitial in the middle of non-conference.
It's the new Pac-12 schedule because they're 20 game schedules now.
Still doesn't quite make sense to me, but whatever. In the coming years, we're going to have Alliance basketball non-conference somewhere around there too. So that's great.
Oh, nice. We get to play Nebraska all the time.
Hopefully that would be fun. Easy wins. But CU ends non-conference with five straight home games. And unfortunately, I think the best CU can do is go 3-2 in these games.
You just wanted to skip UCLA?
Yes. That's a loss.
It's a loss, but you don't want to talk about how UCLA might be the number one team in the country to start the year.
I mean, we can't do that as we get closer to the year. But, yeah, UCLA is probably should be the number one team in the country. Them or Gonzaga, yeah.
Them or Gonzaga. I have a soft spot for this UCLA team because I got my brother to start like following UCLA right before the tournament was starting because I was like helping him with his brackets. And also because my brother looks like and plays basketball like Jaime Jaquez. So my brother just loves Jaime so much. And I think Jaquez is going to be Pac-12 player of the year. And you don't think so, but I think he will be.
This year?
Mm-hmm.
No. He won't.
Yeah?
I don't think so. I mean, Juzang is the easy front runner. Everyone loves Juzang.
Well, I think Jaquez is tremendously better than Juzang.
I agree, but that's not how, unfortunately, the Pac-12 player of the year is usually picked. Well, I think that
if UCLA wins through defense and grit, I think they'll credit Jaquez a little bit more, especially if Jaquez takes on a more playmaking role, which he can.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they also have Peyton Watson.
Also, I think Juzang's scoring was unsustainable, in my opinion. I think that's why he did not go to the NBA is because teams realize that he is like a late second round prospect because he can't create separation.
Yeah, I agree. I still think he's going to have all the hype behind him. And if he turns in a pretty average year, that'll work. If he gets to like 14 points a game, they'll be like, okay, yeah, it's him.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, okay. I just feel like I pulled up the UCLA roster for nothing because you skipped ahead. But that's okay. We can keep going.
Yes, you did pull up for nothing. yeah, so Tennessee kicks off that home stretch December 4th. That's going to be a fun game in Boulder. I will be there. They are also very good, also very talented. CU went there during COVID, thanks to Kim English and Nate Tomlinson, who are now on the same staff. This is the return game. I believe Jordan Fulkerson's in his like 20th year of college playing for them still. So I don't know if I got that name right.
John Fulkerson. My bad. This team, they were so bad last year compared to expectations, compared to talent level. They had no offensive functionality, like at all. No spacing, no shooting. I guess that's the same thing. Fulkerson too, he like didn't have any room to operate, and they just sucked, even though they had two first round pick guards and Yves Pond, the reigning SEC Defense Player of the Year. But they replaced
John Fulkerson was a freshman in college. Do you want to guess what year?
2014.
Jeez. Okay. No. 2016, which is still 6 years ago. He's had a double red shirt plus a COVID year. So he is going to be 24 solid. Walking into Boulder. He's going to be a 24-year-old man.
How old is Evan Batty at this point?
I think 22, much more normal.
Yeah. Okay. He's a fifth-year junior, Evan Batty. So Tennessee, they basically reloaded with more five-star freshmen from last year. So they're hoping that they can reset because their team last year never clicked. And that's why they lost to Oregon State. And that's why it was the easiest 5-12 upset on the board, in my opinion.
Yes, as opposed to the most popular one picked, which was Georgetown over Colorado.
That was not a 5-12.
Yes, it was.
It was? Oh, fuck. I'm so sorry. I was wrong.
Kennedy Chandler, though. Sorry. That guy's the truth.
I'm so sorry. Kennedy Chandler
for Tennessee. It's my favorite freshman guard in the country. That dude's awesome. Pure point.
Okay.
Victor Bailey. So, or whatever. We're going to lose that.
It could go either way. I don't know.
No, it can't. Well, we'll see. But no.
We'll see. You're wrong. Because Tennessee has disappointed me many times. Because I picked them as my SEC team to root for years ago when they had Jarnell Stokes. And hasn't gone well for me rooting for them when I watch. So that should be 2-3 wins after that. Eastern Washington, whoa. Milwaukee, Cal State, Bakersfield. Hang on a second. Eastern Washington, they lost the Groves brothers. They both transferred to Oklahoma.
Yes.
So, yes, they did just make it to the NCAA tournament, and I think they scared the hell out of
Kansas,
but they don't have the same talent as they did. Do you have an argument against?
No, but they're still a well-coached team. That's a free win, I think. Of the three that you just mentioned, that's the freest win.
Oh, not Milwaukee or Cal State?
So, Milwaukee's an interesting...
I forgot about PJ Baldwin.
Yeah, exactly. So
I want to be in Boulder to watch that game. That'd be sick to see him.
Yeah. That's damn why it. They're an interesting case.
Oh no.
Yeah. So Milwaukee has one of the best players in the country, Patrick Baldwin Jr. Who the reason he's at Milwaukee is because his dad, Patrick Baldwin Sr., is the coach there. So he has definitely the potential to wreck any one game against anyone, and that could be CU. So yeah, you hang on for dear life.
Prospect.
Yeah, everyone wanted him. Kentucky was going after him after he was going to transfer because some other school fired his dad. It is a mess. That will be a fight, and I'm worried about that.
We beat Cal when they had Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, but this guy's better than Jaylen Brown was in college, 100%.
100%?
Yes.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay. And then Cal State Bakersfield should also be semi-easy win. So.
Okay. And they don't have any five-star freshmen that I'm forgetting about, do they?
No, but they have a guy named Czar Perry, spelled like the Russian king. So
watch out. Hell yeah.
And the best player's named Taze.
Oh, my God. All right. So what do we know about Kansas basketball other than that they might be resetting?
Yeah. So Kansas and UCLA are probably going to be two of the top three teams in the country. And CU gets to face both, which is fun.
Why is Kansas a top 10 team? Top three
team? They're a top three team. They have.
Are they that good?
Everyone came back. That matters.
But they weren't good.
I disagree. They were pretty good. They add Remy Martin, who some would say is a good thing. I would say he is a, that would be tough with the mouths they have to feed.
I don't think he's good.
David just McCormick is back as a senior, and that dude is one of the best bigs in the country.
I think he's okay.
Yeah. I think you are two down on this team. And then finally you have two five-star freshmen. As always, Bobby Pettiford is really fun at guard. as a freshman. KJ Adams, super fun as a forward guard. And then you got Ochai Agbaji coming back. Somehow they got him back. Jalen Wilson somehow coming back. That dude is the best player in my
opinion. Yeah, Jalen Wilson's very talented.
Mitch Lightfoot is in his 12th year or whatever it is at Kansas. The new Nick Collison.
Super senior right here.
Yeah, they are experienced. They have talent and food coming ugly. In. Yeah.
Here's a question. Everything. If you could be good enough to play basketball at a school like Kansas, but you were ugly, which would you pick?
I would decide to do that and be ugly, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 100%. I guess that's not a very difficult decision for you.
Thank you. Yes. But being ugly in 6'8 is better than being drop dead gorgeous and 5'8.
I would rather be drop dead gorgeous than 5'8. Oscar Isaac is like 5'8.
Yeah, there's room for both of us in the world and both stereotypes.
Oh, do we want to talk about Dune on the podcast or no?
No, this is gonna be a pretty jam-packed episode.
Okay.
So anyways, Kansas is an L. I think CU gets to play UCLA, Tennessee, and Kansas back-to-back with Milwaukee in there in that six-game stretch. Escaping that 4-2 is a huge win. Escaping that 3-3 is just fine. You will be just fine with 3-3 at the end of the non-conference. And then you get to start the full conference play with at Oregon. So boy howdy, CU has a tough start.
Yeah, we can even go these first six games, first eight games, honestly, a Pac-12 schedule are tough as hell.
I would say there's only a few teams that are definitely worse than CU in the Pac-12 this year. That's not because CU is necessarily bad. It's because we don't know what they are. And also, a lot of other teams got way more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, like Oregon's always going to be talented. We don't really know. It's the annual tradition of Oregon basketball is that we don't know.
A million transfers.
Yeah.
Quincy Carrier is a new one this year. Yep.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try until I see them. Like, I have no idea. I have no idea who Eugene Amarui was, but.
Yep. Well, we can go ahead and cancel February 3rd. Oregon at home. That's a win. Free money.
Yep. So at Oregon, Oregon State. I think Oregon State will not be that good.
I think that's one of the few teams you can say is worse than CU next year. Yes.
Yes.
I am anti-Oregon State.
Because did the last Thompson leave?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, then. I think that settles
that. They still have Alatiche,
Yeah. I think Alatiche is good, but I don't think he's good enough to beat CU on his own. Washington State at home should be a win, even though they're good.
Nope. They are my boys good. This year. I say they're top four to five. I am not saying that should
no,
be
I a, think a toss they're up. They're good too. But I think that any year in the Pac-12, if you're not a top one or two team in the Pac-12, CU should win that at home.
So I will flip that and say Washington is a sure win between the Washington schools visit.
I think Washington is definitely a sure win. I think Washington State should be 70% chance of winning.
I 1-1 and I'm happy there, but whatever. Okay.
Okay, 2-0 and I'm happy. hang on. Let me look at these tip-off times to see which games I can actually watch.
So, then after that, while you're looking it up, there's the Arizona trip. So, CU faces the Wildcats and the Sun Devils back-to-back. Wildcats under a new head coach, Tommy Lloyd, for the first time since I think CU started playing him. And we'll miss Sean Miller and his sweaty face. But we don't know what they're going to look like partially because of that. Huge international flavor on that roster. Tubelis is back. Kirk Crease is back. They got a few more transfers. They'll be interesting. I think they're also in that mid-group of we don't know exactly how good they're going to be. So past UCLA and Oregon, I think everyone else is kind of sloshed up together. So yeah. I'm not expecting a win there. Arizona State is the same thing. They got, in my mind, the best guy in the transfer portal this offseason. And I know his last name is Jackson. Let me look up his first name. Blah, 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 blah. His name is, come on, Marion Jackson. Marion Jackson is sweet. He is so fun to watch. Yeah. So I'm not that.
Did they upgrade from Remy Martin to him?
I love Remy Martin. I think he's super fun to watch. I would hate having Remy Martin on my team because I think he loses the game sometimes. So
well, also They had Alonzo Verge, who was also a ball hog. And they had another guy who just wouldn't pass. Oh, Josh Christopher.
Yeah.
Although Josh Christopher worked hard, whereas the other guys didn't really necessarily. And then they lost Jalen House, who was my most appreciated Sun Devil.
He worked hard.
That dude just, he doesn't give a shit. He just runs around.
He worked hard.
Yeah. Bobby Hurley, what the hell? He's on the roster. Did you know that they have a Hurley?
That makes total sense. Yeah, I don't know.
Of course, Bobby Hurley named his son Bobby Hurley. Marcus Bagley is back. He is not very good, but NBA teams like him. He's big and can shoot, but is not good. That will bite me in the ass, by the way, when he drops 6 threes on CU.
Right. Marion Jackson, I think, is the biggest thing that ASU has going for him because he's so different than most of what their prior guards have been. He's like a tough team guy, plays defense. I don't know. Anti-Remy Martin. So,
Remy and then Martin. Luther Muhammad, isn't he the Miami transfer?
Yeah. Also fun.
Yeah. Okay. Also a fun guy. Okay. USC and UCLA in Boulder. UCLA, we already talked about. That's going to be real tough.
No way.
What?
No way.
I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance. Yeah. I think there's also a chance that we're overrating UCLA because they were still a last four team in. Like, they returned everybody, but they were still a last four team in the NCAA tournament. And I think that they're obviously really good, but I don't think that we should necessarily assume that they're unbeatable. This isn't like Arizona with Aaron Gordon and Nick Johnson.
I don't know if I think it is that different. I think the defense is going to be brutal. I think their defense is going to be terrible to play against.
I think so too, but
I don't trust our offense because we don't know what the hell we look like.
Okay, that's a good point because I was going to say CU still beat them even when their defense was insane, but they also had McKinley Wright. And I keep forgetting when I think about wins and losses, I keep forgetting that we don't have McKinley Wright anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know how good CU is going to be. I can't say wins or losses. I'm just basing it off the opposition.
We know the CU's beaten USC 8 straight times. Let's make it 9 straight right here.
Yeah, that's an easy win.
And then at Wazoo in Washington State, I'm 1-1, and I'm happy again. And then we finish off with 3 home games. The Oregon schools plus Utah make a visit. Utah is another one I'm solidly fine notching beneath CU. They are a mess.
And we're still going to lose.
No, that's going to be the at Utah at the end of the year.
Okay, that's right.
And then at Cal, another team where I'm like, yes, you are worse than CU, especially now without Matt Bradley, superhero.
Yeah, they suck. And yet we still lost to them last year, too.
Yes, but they had Matt Bradley, superhero.
Well, he wasn't the reason why they lost. It was because CU just got bodied the entire game.
Yeah,
you didn't even watch that game.
No, but they were not interested in playing.
No. And you lucked out because that game sucked ass.
Yes.
And that was the worst game of the season.
Hold that thought because we'll soon transition to a team that's you luck out if you don't watch them.
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a fun conference schedule. It's a lot of slush in the middle of the Pac-12. I think there's a clear top two and clear bottom three, but everything else in between is fair game. So.
And you forgot about the home finale against Arizona State in Arizona. Which would
Arizona's
be
the last
very fun. And that would be very fun if
I believe, I don't think Evan Batty's a junior. I think they're treating this like a senior year. Tad has mentioned him as a senior a few times. So that Arizona game is Evan Batty's senior day, and I'm going to cry so hard. I'm going to cry unbelievably hard.
Do you see reason to believe in a late season run for the Buffs?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
And I think that the schedule set up nicely, actually, for Tad Boyle, for how Tad Boyle wants.
Late home games.
Late home games, yes.
Late and easy games,
Late easy games, thank you. But so you have this young team that's going to be tested in non-conference play at home and on the road. They're going to see everything, honestly. They're just going to see physical teams, Kansas, Tennessee, UCLA, all physical teams with more talent than them. Then they're going to go get tested on the road. They're going to get tested to see what their resolve is like when they start in 2-6 in conference play. And then that's actually pretty bad, actually, if they do that. But and then they're going to start hitting their stride right as they go at Washington State. If they can win one of those two, it's good. And then Oregon could be the huge confidence booster. If you win Oregon at home, then you have Oregon State. It gets easier. Utah gets easier.
I mean, you could win the next six, honestly. Yeah.
Seven. At Cal, at Stanford are both, those are the two easiest road games of the Pac-12 schedule every year. Not for CU, but for everyone
Utah
else.
Is awful. And then, at Utah should be.
Yeah. And then Arizona State, Arizona at home, winnable. At Utah, winnable.
That's that could a great be point, like, Sam. I think if you beat Oregon on February 3rd, you can win out the rest of that schedule.
Yeah, I think that they'd still find a way to drop one of the games they shouldn't, but that's CU basketball. Well, that's any. That's not just CU basketball. That's just
that's anyone basketball. Who's not a top 15 program basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I said, I mean, it's so hard. This team is, what, 9 underclassmen?
Yeah. This team probably shouldn't have anything close to NCAA tournament expectations. But, I mean, upside NCAA tournament, downside, hopefully, NIT.
Yeah.
But it's a transition year. It's fine. We can have those.
Well, it's a brand new team.
If you turn your transition year into NCAA tournament contention, then you are becoming a program.
So. Yes, that would be a nice arrival, I guess, or a confirmation of what this team can be. And that would add for even more excitement next year because NCAA tournament team, and you lose two guys, everyone else is coming back. That's how you get to the UCLA number one.
Because like this team is talented. This is the best recruiting class in CU history. It's the best recruiting class in the Pac-12. But even with McKinley Wright, Tyler Bay, and Deshaun Schwartz, that team still went like 18-16.
Yeah, but yes.
This team has more talent.
I don't want to disparage prior things, but yes, the senior leadership on this team compared to that one is better. I trust Evan Batty and Eli Parquet to lock shit down when they need to. And Keyshawn's been there for 3 years now. This is his third year of the program. That's good for a guy who has not played that much ball.
Yeah, and I keep forgetting he's actually like a junior because his freshman year. Wait, was. No, his freshman year was a full redshirt.
Yeah, full redshirt.
Okay, so never mind, sophomore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep forgetting how long he's been here because he graduated high school early to join CU.
And the best bit about this team, before we move on, the best bit is Evan Batty's great. We love Evan Batty. Eli Parquet's great. We love Eli Parquet. You know what you're getting out of those two. Keyshawn, older guy. We know kind of what he's going to look like. None of them are the best player on this team. The best player on this team is a sophomore, Jabari Parker. Oh my God, did I get his name wrong? No, it's his name.
Jabari right? Walker.
Who's Jabari Parker?
He's the bust.
Oh, that's right. Oh my God. Hopefully it's the only time that happens.
Bad. So my issue is that I literally keep forgetting Jabari Walker's on the team. I thought you were going to say KJ Simpson or something. I was going to be like, what?
No.
I keep forgetting Jabari Walker is like actually here because I'm not really used to him yet. Like, I don't think of him as, like, our guy yet. Well, I just think of him as a talented electric player who I hope does not get overhyped because he has a lot
to prove. It's going to be his last year here. It's going to be his last year at CU.
He has a lot to prove still.
I'm just telling you. It is. And the best case scenario is he becomes a, like, 15-8 guy because he can do that.
No, I get that. It's just, like, stop fouling people 7 times for 40 minutes. And I don't, and like his role last year was really simple. It was come off the bench, chuck shots, and just be energy, just run around.
His role is not that different this year. It's come start, chuck shots, be energy.
I don't know if he's going to be asked to chuck shots though, because that was like he was a spark plug. Like that was his idea. Well, I know he's going to chuck shots. I don't know if that's supposed to be like what he's supposed to do.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
We need shot takers on this team.
Okay.
Period.
That's fine. Okay. I wonder how that's all going to work. I'm interested to see how him and Batty work as a front court tandem.
It's exciting team because we don't know what it's going to look like for the first time in forever. So
yeah, because like what? We have never had a primary scorer playing power forward with Tad Boyle.
I guess Josh Shaw was center.
Yeah, no, he was not a power forward. He wasn't a face-up player at all. That was easy. I was just post entry. Do you have a breakout player for CU so far? Like, who's a player that we're not expecting?
That we're not expecting?
Well, not us two, but like the general public. Who would maybe the listener? Who do they not think is going to be the best player? This is a terribly worded question.
I mean, I think it's going to be KJ Simpson. I think we both love that dude.
Yeah.
And he's going to make his impact felt pretty immediately. I think it's going
to also, he's not 6 feet tall. That's like with his hair.
No, but who cares? The dude can dunk.
I know. also true.
I think it's going to be him.
Yeah. I think that also, like, if Eli Parquet became like a feared player in college, like in the Pac-12, that'd be nice. He was named first team all defense, and he might be the front runner for defense player of the year. I want to see you. Can you talk about something so I can look something up?
I mean, with your other candidates, Tristan Da Silva is pretty much a known quantity, which is why he's so fun to me. Cause I think a guy who's a sophomore, who's that solid is really cool. I guess Neek Clifford would be a candidate, but I don't know what we could see out of him. If he somehow explodes,
not this year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't think Lovering's going to play enough to really count, but I think KJ has the explosiveness, the athleticism. Like you said, I think he's completely confident in himself as a freshman, which is important. And
Okay. To distract, is James Akinjo, did he go to the NBA?
No, didn't he transfer to Baylor?
Oh, yeah, he did. Okay, so that means that Tiger Campbell is the only first team all Pac-12 player returning, which is strange.
I love Tiger Campbell.
And then second team, I think it's just Haquez and Juzang. And Matt Bradley's gone, Taj Eady is gone, Isaac Bonton's gone. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
First team, or wait, all defense, we have remaining Haquez and Parquet, and that's it. And then Warith Alahishe was honorable mention. Bryce Willis was honorable mention. And then F.A. Abogidi is
going F.A. Abogidi. I love him.
He's going to be also good.
And Dennis Robbins' kid.
What?
Yeah, he's on Washington State. Dennis Robbins Jr.,
no,
I think.
Oh, I thought you meant Abogidi was Dennis Robbins' kid. I was like, why? What? How did that happen? Because Abogidi's from Nigeria. But, okay, what? So, breakout player, you were saying...
I think it has to be listening KJ. To you.
Okay, I think so. I think Parquet could be, too, if he starts to, like, hit threes at, like, a good clip. And
yeah, I don't know. I'd love it to be Clifford. If Nick Clifford could end up being that guy this year, that'd be insane. I don't think he will be, but
yeah, I don't think that's. I think that's a year early, maybe. I think honestly, Clifford needs to have like that mentality that he's like going to be contributing every single day and be consistent and like full of confidence all the time.
Yeah, I think you and I have different reads. He's still growing into his body. He's still so young.
No, I think so.
Physically.
I think that when you see players like that, I think the confidence can trail behind.
Yeah, I don't know. What we saw in Costa Rica was cool because it wasn't him hunting for shots. He was just like, I'm going to board every ball because these guys aren't as good and as big as me. And that was great. I think he could do
that. Yeah, that's nice. Everyone. I'm not gleaning anything from the Costa Rica trip, though, for basketball. What about the Pac-12? Do you have, like, we already talked about Pac-12 Player of the Year. Do you have any other, like, breakout players?
I just think Wazoo's going to be so fun this year. And you can pick, I mean, he kind of broke out last year on the Washington State team. Not...
Noah Williams.
Noah Williams. Thank you. I was really trying to pull that out.
He had like a 40-point game.
Yes, and he's now the main option on that team. He's so fun. That team is constructed really, really well. So
they have a top 40 recruit coming in. That's insane. And this has been a long time coming for Washington State.
I love Kyle Smith.
Kyle Smith. they have a lot of momentum. I think that would be fun if that was a program to be reckoned with. Because that team has honestly been so bad since Tony Bennett left. All right, so I'm thinking like someone who's way too talented to have come back is Benedict Mathurin.
If he finds his role. Came back. That dude is insane.
Yeah, that dude, his first step is ridiculous. He was just getting any shot he wanted. Well, he was a sixth man on a bad team. So
someone should have drafted him 10th instead of Zaire Williams.
Well, Zaire Williams is drafted on pedigree and height. He is not very good.
Mathurin is going to be, he's going to be the option at Arizona next year. He's very, very good.
Any thoughts on Isaiah Mobley as USC's guy?
I'm just always down on the. I don't like the way that Andy Enfield constructs his rosters, and I think everyone's really high on them this year.
No,
realizing that
they also got the easiest draw in the NCAA tournament out of anybody.
Yes, I agree. But also, Evan Mobley is a ridiculous generational defensive talent in college. I'm not saying that in the NBA. In college,
he's good. He's going to be good in defense in the NBA too.
Yeah,
it's the just, dude he's going to get pushed around a little bit.
Isaiah Mobley is also good, but that he's not a leader in like a top 15 team. That's not his type. They have Ethan Anderson back. Does not scare me. Agbonpolo does not scare me. They got Chavez Goodwin back, who scares me only because of how sharp his elbows are when he's elbowing McKinley Wright.
Fuck that guy.
And they have a guy named – so Malik Thomas is the guy from Damien, who's a freshman guard. He's really fun. That's who was ahead of R.J. Smith, the new CU commit. However, I just don't think they have overall – they have no one that's like, oh, my God, they have this guy? We're screwed, you know? Evan Mobley was that. Isaiah Mobley is not that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So do you think – after these breakout players, do you think anybody can contend with UCLA for the Pac-12 title?
Absolutely. I think Oregon absolutely can.
Yeah.
I think Oregon regular and UCLA season, are both top 10 teams.
Okay. I think regular season, it's UCLA's to lose because, like, that, again, like, that insane defense, like, that will travel. They're just going to bother everyone. And if they can get hot shooting nights from Juzang, they'll win. If they don't, hopefully they can get some from Peyton Watson. Hopefully they can get some from Jaime Jaquez. Like they have a lot of different ways they can win. And like we saw in the NCAA tournament too, like they win. They won high scoring games too.
Shut going up. Toe for toe. Oh my God. No, I
this
just
is looked a great at, podcast.
Sorry. I just looked at Oregon's transfers and they have, this is my favorite Oregon team they ever had by far.
Oh no.
I don't Tell think me. We can beat them in Boulder. This will be the year it gets killed. So they added Jacob Young from Rutgers, who's just like a tough guard, just like bulldoggy.
Is he Joe Young's brother?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. They still have Big Frank in the middle there. Frank Kapang, who is 6'11 and like 400 pounds. Quincy Guerrier was added, smooth scorer from Syracuse. Devion Harmon from Oklahoma, they added him as a guard transfer, who is a bucket getter.
Oh, yeah, CU was trying to get him, right?
Yeah, and Fale Dante is coming back, who's officially healthy, and they still have Will Richardson, who's also a bucket getter and a lefty driver. I don't
– Damn it.
Wait.
I think Jacob Young is related because he looks a lot like Joe Young.
And they had Nate Biddle, who's a 5-star freshman center also.
He is.
Freaky.
No, he's related to Joe Young.
They whack me out. They're really, really good.
Damn it. Okay, so two contenders and the rest. There's probably like six teams in between Oregon or after Oregon and UCLA. There's like six teams that could be anything. And then there's some bottom teams that we already kind of mentioned.
Yep. I think that's right.
I forget who's in the Pac-12, but do you know Colorado finished number eight in KenPom last year?
Yes. Well, that was only like every other Pac-12 team. We got like a 40-point bump because Oregon State and UCLA came out of nowhere. So, you know,
I mean, we were top 10 before. We were top 10 entering the NCAA tournament, I believe.
Yes.
Or we were like ninth after we lost to Florida State. So I don't think it had too much of an effect. But I see. But that's crazy, though. That was such a good team. That sucks. That was the worst fucking day to play basketball, too. I'm not even going to say anything. But that was so bad.
It was bad luck. But I'm glad we got to see what we did.
And matchup nightmare, to be honest.
Yeah.
Speaking of matchup nightmares. Do you want to talk about football?
Yeah, every team from this day forward.
No. Let me do my segue first.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about football?
Yes.
Do you want to talk about the shittiest team that shouldn't be winning games and still is?
Yes.
And a football team that is not your University of Colorado Buffaloes, but is Sheriff Tiraspol, a Moldovan club.
Nice. That is,
they have already won two Champions League games over Shakhtar Donetsk and Real Madrid in their two attempts. And they are owned by KGB, former KGB agents.
Yes.
Who were put in that in Tiraspol, Moldova, in order to create a breakaway state, of which Tiraspol is the capital. And they use the soccer club, Sheriff, as like a gun-smuggling front. And they are winning Champions League games, and I cannot believe this. And they had a player who they subbed off, and he's like tatted the fuck out with like the haircut, and he like just looks like he just smuggles guns. And it's just like, that is the team. And they're out in the middle of farm country nowhere with an amazing stadium. And they just destroy the Moldovan soccer league. And it is so funny. I cannot believe, like, sports are so weird.
Sounds like Kansas State a little bit.
Yeah.
Is there
a large drug ring in Manhattan, Kansas?
Oh, not since Bill Snyder left. I'm kidding.
What?
but they are a team in the middle of nowhere that beats up on bigger teams. Good for Sheriff. You know, we need more USSR continued believers in this world. And I'm glad they're still fighting the good fight.
I'm doing my part over here.
That's right. We're all big Sheriff fans today.
Speaking of people who should be arrested by the Sheriff, Darren Chivarini.
No. Woo! Nice. Okay. kind of. Yeah.
Might be sabotaging.
Well, let's. Yeah. Your Colorado Buffaloes are 1-3 headed into this week's matchup against USC. For those who mercifully didn't see it, they played Arizona State late Sunday night, Saturday night on ESPNU. You know, it was a more of the same game as far as I could tell. They kept it kind of close at the beginning. I think at one point the score was 10-13.
Yeah, I read in your brilliant recap.
Yes, that's right. And then Arizona State kept it going. And as expected, CU's offense sputtered. What more could be said? CU scored their first touchdown in 26 drives against Arizona State.
How many touchdowns has CU scored this year?
Against FBS opponents?
No, total. Even Northern Colorado. 7. Do you know how many rushing touchdowns Jaron Mangum has for South Florida?
Former Buffs, Jaron Mangum? Oh, God.
Yes. Not to say Jaron Mangum would make this team better, but it is pretty sad. And that USF team sucks.
Let me get more anger out before I'm done, because I don't have as much as I did last week.
So I mercifully did not watch CU play football. I didn't want to wake up at 4:30 a.m. to watch that. I said that once I checked the score, if CU was going to lose, that was not part of the equation. It was, if CU scores more than 10 points, I will have been happy with the result. And I saw they scored 13 points, and I was like, oh, good for them. And that is my thought.
Okay.
The whole team.
Yeah, I don't have that thought. So, you know, bad for them. I am upset that after the game, Carl Durrell said we saw some okay things in the passing game, and they had 67 passing yards against Arizona State. Mm. Definitely some okay things there. And then you take out the 20-plus pass play that was basically a sweep run by Ty Robinson, and there was 41 passing yards. 41 passing yards past the line of scrimmage, Sam. That's not okay. I'm going to say that right now. And I disagree with anyone who says it is. I get that he's protecting Brendan Lewis. I appreciate that. I also want to protect Brendan Lewis. I wish the offensive line did as well. That would be great.
I'm also concerned with Brendan Lewis's confidence.
100% you should be. It's just a complete mess top to bottom. Yes, a touchdown is good. And they had a few drives where I was like, you know what? This doesn't look like the worst, but you know what those few drives were? It was just Brendan Lewis making plays with his legs after everything broke down and Jarek Broussard running really well because he sprinted away from the offensive line the second he got the ball. And that should not be what moves your offense. Alex Fontenot looked pretty good. Shaq Clayton looked pretty good. There's talent on this team. I wish someone could scheme it open. Who could that be? Maybe someone paid to do that? I don't know.
Maybe someone who is rumored to be in the running for a head coaching position. Even though he probably shouldn't have been.
Yes, rumored by himself, most of all. That's true.
And might be mad that he didn't get it.
Maybe. Look, so in general, somehow CU is only a 6.5-point dog to USC as they come to Boulder this week.
That speaks volumes about USC and nothing else.
Oh, 100%. S&P projects a 15-point USC win that seems much more in line. With what I'm thinking, USC is a complete mess right now. Jackson Dart, their one ray of hope at quarterback, is hurt. So Keaton Slovis is back, and he has regressed.
So I have a question. Okay, so Keaton Slovis sucks now.
I guess.
Who was the quarterback Keaton Slovis replaced?
Was it Matt Corral? No.
What? Matt Corral is doing great. All right, I'm going to look this up. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but Matt Corral.
I have a theory. I don't know these things. I have a theory that USC backups are tremendously better than starters.
Yeah, he was
what. Because whenever
Arnold was it?
JT Daniels.
That's right.
Then JT Daniels gets hurt. Keaton Slovis comes in. Keaton Slovis is the savior. All right, now Keaton Slovis is the starter. Keaton Slovis kind of sucks. And Jackson Dart is the savior. And I think Jackson Dart is going to do great this year. Probably. It's the cycle of life. And then next year, he's going to suck. And then the next quarterback
is
going to be the savior. And I think it's going to keep happening because Sam Darnold was also the savior.
For Max Brown, yeah.
Yeah, and then he wasn't very good his second year, I believe.
In general... I don't see CU's not going to win this game. I'll just say that outright. It doesn't matter who USC has at quarterback. Drake London is a freak who will embarrass CU like he has embarrassed a million other teams if only he could get the ball. And their problems.
Well, I'm looking at Ronald Jones' college stats right now. Oh my God.
I love him.
I don't miss him against CU. That was traumatic. Okay.
Right.
Sorry to distract you.
Well, USC's defense isn't the best. Oregon State just scored 42 on USC. I would pay so much money to ever see CU score 42 this year. That would be fantastic. Alas, I don't think it'll happen.
No, they didn't even look that good against Northern Colorado.
So,
wait, what about Arizona?
Let's just one week at a time. I only want to focus on the pain directly in front of me. Okay. So,
okay.
USC's coming to town, 7-point underdog right now, 6.5 in Vegas. It's a noon kickoff. So, there might be a body clock theory that Vegas is working with. It's 11 a.m. for the USC kids. I don't think so.
But with 1 hour difference. No.
Right. So, regardless, I don't have high hopes. If CU. You get into the 20s, maybe it's a game. That will not happen. This chemistry, the group of personnel on offense, and that includes the quarterback, the offensive coach, coordinator, and the head coach, plus all the other coaches. That is not working in a very big way, and it continues to not work in a very big way. And until that changes, I am going to pick against CU in pretty much every game. So, there you go.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. If this offense looks like anything that's not resembling completely irrevocably broken, then I might say CU has something of a chance, but I don't think that's ever going to – that's not going to happen. No, and I don't think that – even if you got rid of Shiv this season, I don't think that you could just rebuild an offense from scratch when it's this broken.
I agree. It will take someone who's not a part of this current staff to fix it, and that won't happen in midseason.
Yeah, unless it was like Darian Hagan running the triple option.
Which would be cheaper at the very least.
But also, no. Also, Darian Hagan, you can stay. No, keep your running backs coach for life job.
Right. So
which he deserves.
We talked about this, Sam, and when the time is right, there's some names floating around in my head. Or some
can
some
you fixes. Can you believe Eric Bieniemy was rumored as the CU job?
I can believe that he was rumored, yes.
Yeah, well, I couldn't believe the rumors when they were happening.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's the game on Saturday. These poor players, I'm glad they're continuing to play. Terrence Lang is a freaking animal, and Mustafa Johnson comes back this week, which will be super fun to watch. I'm glad to see he's back. Unfortunately, both of those people play defense, so damn. Oh, it's just it's energy draining now to talk about CU football, which is very not fun. And I don't like it, and I want them to be fun.
Well, I don't have to worry about it anymore because now we have hired a new writer on the Ralph Report, so I don't have to write about football anymore.
That's right. That will be unveiled at some point in the near future.
At some point, yes. We'll have them on the podcast.
Yes. Spoiler alert, it's Eric Bieniemy. We got him.
Yeah, were you gonna go over some OC hires who I have never heard of and you have kind of heard of them, and then once they do get hired, they're not going to be that good? Because you're excited about Jay Johnson.
Look, man, and I should still be. Jay Johnson had a cohesive plan that we could follow on offense, okay? He set things up. There's a flea flicker involved. Let's cross
that
the
was,
bridges when
this
we get
one
there.
One good call.
Okay, okay. Let's cross the bridges when we get there. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves and get.
Oh, so you were just looking at OCs and getting excited.
Yes, I am window shopping. I'm looking at other offenses being like, man, they scored. Imagine, wouldn't that be nice?
Okay, imagine I'm an offensive coordinator. Well, how would you sell me on the CU football job? Let's say that I'm an offensive coordinator.
Okay, and what position do you coach?
I'm a quarterbacks coach.
Nice.
That's
okay.
The easiest one.
Yes.
At a Mountain West conference college.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Not great. Like, I'm not looking
Fresno
for
State,
head coaching
maybe?
Jobs. Yeah, sure. I don't want to be pinned.
Okay. And what you want me to sell you on coming to see you?
Why would I come to see you instead of staying at Utah State?
Okay. Number one, money.
My name is Chucky Keaton, by the way.
Hell, I would love that. okay, number one is money. Number two is way easier to recruit to a Pac-12 school than it is a Mountain West school. And then number three is when you are coming in as new blood, the expectations you have to beat are so low right now. Oh, boy, are they low. Mm. You score more than two touchdowns in your first three games against FBS opponents, you're already better, baby. You're already better. Mm. Just score more than two touchdowns.
Yeah, low expectations is pretty good. But what if a similar, like, I got offered a similar job at, like, Texas Tech or something.
Okay.
Or even, like, maybe I was in the contention for head coach at Colorado State.
Take the head coaching job. That would be my professional recommendation.
Okay, that's true.
Bet on yourself.
Sorry, bad idea. Or, like, a really bad head coaching job. You would still like that's it? Like, even if I had low expectations other place?
I would always take the head coaching job over any coordinating job. But if it was a OC at Texas Tech versus OC at CU, I would say once again, it's way easier to recruit to CU than it is to Texas Tech, especially with where you're recruiting. Texas mm-hmm. Tech is a bad member of a dying conference, and that's not a good place to be in.
Okay.
CU is a bad member of a, depending on who you talk to, already dead and or mediocre conference. But because of that, you'll win a lot more games because there's really not that much facing you. Texas Tech is in a concrete okay. wall between being the fifth best in the state and maybe the fourth best. They're never going to get 3-2-1, you know?
Okay.
See, so
maybe the OC I replace can go take that Texas Tech job instead.
Oh, that was good.
What else we got? Who are we playing this week?
Like I said, USC at noon.
Oh, sorry.
And then after USC is a merciful bye week. So.
Oh, thank God.
You know, there's no information behind this, but if CU looked bad enough where a change was absolutely warranted before the start of a bye week, seems like a good time to do it. I don't, once yeah. again, I know absolutely nothing, but if CU goes out and lays another egg, the situation will have reached an untenable point in my mind. And at Ooh. That point, you have 2 weeks to install a new person.
Who is the interim coach of USC?
Dante Williams. He's a super recruiter, SoCal legend. Was at Oregon okay. before he's at USC. He's just a defensive backs coach, but they need his.
Oh, did he recruit DeAnthony Thomas?
No, he's at Oregon for like 1 year.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Beside the point. Well, CU basketball starts October 27th.
Yes.
CU
volleyball's
counting
ranked.
Down. CU volleyball's ranked. Yes, apparently.
Swept Spoiler Utah. Alert,
this new writer may or may not be covering volleyball games time to time.
Yep, Bienemy's a huge volleyball fan.
Which is something that we have neglected because we have been understaffed for the past odd years. Anything else? Anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to get off your chest?
No, my anger from last week has fully transitioned into semi-apathy, which is not good for the program, but more fun.
Are you going to keep going to CU football games?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll okay. just be more like a Rockies experience of like, yeah, we all know it sucks, but, you know, it's pretty out. So.
We just dunk on the Rockies out of nowhere. My San Francisco Giants are doing fucking great. I thought they would suck. I thought they would be like,
I shouldn't have mentioned baseball.
One of the worst teams in baseball, and they are literally the best team. They have 102 wins right now. That is crazy.
Baseball.
And I have not watched a single game because I am not following baseball anymore. So good. I spare you. Are we done?
Yep, I'm done.
All right. See you, Jack.
Bye.
Buzz! 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 Buzz!